Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
The church is really a voluntary community. It is quite different from a country. A citizen of a country is born a citizen. He becomes a citizen involuntarily. Not so in the true church. To be a member of the church requires a choice. Life in the church has requirements. The first requirement is acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior. That results in a born-again experience. It is what we call the new birth, to be born from heaven. The second requirement is a new life, living in obedience to the Lord. In fact, the new birth spiritually results in new life. The third requirement is a new relationship with others. There's a bonding, a relationship, a union in the body. The church, in fact, is referred to as a called-out community. That is really the meaning of the word as it is found in the Greek New Testament, ekklesia, called out. Yet some members of the church seem to be nothing more than bench warmers. You can call them do-nothing Christians. In my text in 1 Corinthians 3:1-9, the Apostle Paul called them babes in Christ. They might be characterized as bottle-fed babies. Babes in Christ, Paul further defined as carnal. Well, what does the word carnal mean? Carnal means living after the flesh, fleshly Christians, Christians that have not moved on to the spiritual dimension of their experience. From my text in 1 Corinthians 3:1-9, I will discuss the calamity of carnality. The calamity of carnality. Have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 3:1-9. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? And while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The Apostle Paul teaches us the tragic activities which result from the calamity of carnality. The first activity is, carnality frustrates progress. We sometimes wonder, is it possible that there are carnal Christians? Yes. Carnal Christians are possible. Babes in Christ, who should be growing, but whose progress has been frustrated. They are unable to digest nourishing food. They are incapable of taking in the truth, further truth. They're stunted, incapable to progress. Carnality, I say, frustrates progress. It is like standing on a treadmill, motion, but no direction. They are of no practical use in the church. Here is what someone else said about it. I quote, as babes, they are of no practical use in the church. They cannot be relied upon for service. They're not fitted for real work. In spiritual things, they are weaklings. They draw upon the resources of the church rather than add to them. They are encumbrances, sources of weakness rather than of strength. They require much looking after. Yet withal, they often have a very high opinion of their own powers, and sometimes are exceedingly anxious to take up a great work, as anxious as they soon become to put it down again. Childish instability of purpose, as well as a lack of spiritual power, prevents them from being useful. And the work that is done after so carnal a manner that often it had better have been left undone. End of quote. So it is obvious now, carnality frustrates progress. Carnal Christians can be quite vocal, but they simply frustrate progress. They are what we can call dead weight. They do not carry their end of the load. The second activity is, carnality generates the party spirit. Rivalry seems to be a part of their agenda. In some congregations, people have brought in the corporate thought process. I say some people in the church have adopted the corporate ladder syndrome, characterized by envy, strife, division. Notice in verse 3 how the Apostle Paul brings this before us. There is among you envying, strife, and divisions, he said. That is what makes you carnal. People are like magnets, drawing the disgruntled. They find their pleasure, delight, in generating the party spirit. Now, what do you think of Pastor so-and-so? But that does not build for growth. As I was saying, carnality frustrates progress and generates the party spirit. Again, another has stated it well, I quote, "It is never the best people in a Christian community who are the cause of strife. Contention and controversy are only interesting to those who are not really growing in likeness to and nearness to Christ. Schism and strife are sure signs of carnality. Men who get soul visions of the truth never can want to contend over words." It would seem that the Apostle Paul recognized signs of remaining carnality in the regenerate members of the church and found this to be a principal hindrance to the advance of his teaching. Such signs of carnal mind are still observed by Christian pastors and are the occasion of their deepest depressions and constant grief. I ought to read that sentence again. Listen to it. Such signs of the carnal mind are still observed by Christian pastors and are the occasion of their deepest depressions and constant grief. End of quotation. It seems every church has some carnal members generating the party spirit. That is what carnality does. The third activity is, carnality obliterates purpose. Attachment to leaders obliterates the central purpose of the church. Internal bickering dissipates energy to reach out. So the apostle asked, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" And then he pointed out the purpose of God in these leaders. "I have planted," he said. "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." The planting and the watering were highly essential. They are today. But the essential part of this is not the planter or the waterer, but the one who gives the increase. God gives the increase. This must always be kept in mind. Further, we notice that unity brings rewards to each. He said that the planter and the waterer are one. And so being one, working according to the purpose of God, they then receive their reward, each according to his own labor. Unity brings reward to each, as we note in verse 8. Finally, he said, "We are laborers together with God." Carnality obliterates purpose. But when we see the whole function as it truly is, then we see that by laboring together horizontally, we labor together with God. The product is God's husbandry, or God's garden, or God's building. Everyone who labors in this way labors with God. Again, I bring you to the words of another. I quote, "It is God that giveth the increase." In the spiritual sphere, as in the natural, the life-giving power is divine. In both cases, the power usually works through human ministries. It is only in connection with diligent planting and watering that we can expect the increase. Each minister has his own peculiar reward. All are one, inasmuch as all are servants of one Lord and engaged in the same work. Hence, they are not to be set against each other as rivals. Their work is one, yet diverse, and so is their reward. No faithful servant shall go without a recompense at his master's hand, but each shall receive his own, alike in kind and in degree. The principle that determines this is according to his own labor. It is not according to the fruit or result of our labor, but simply according to the measure of our labor. What reversals of human opinion are in store for us? Men applaud success. God praises fidelity. Many an obscure but faithful worker shall receive a greater reward than he who has been less faithful and more prominent and successful. End of quote. Yes, the end result of carnality is the obliteration of purpose. My friend, take careful account of yourself. I'm talking to church members as such. Assess your condition. Remember what results from carnality, the calamity of carnality. Carnality frustrates progress. Carnality generates party spirit. Carnality obliterates purpose. Find deliverance with an intimate relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. O God, our hearts have been exposed by these words of the Apostle Paul. Of many, I fear, in the church, this is an apt description. Carnality expresses itself in these obvious ways. The activity is obvious. It frustrates progress, generates a party spirit, obliterates purpose. O God, I pray that the Holy Spirit might speak to my friend and me. May we seek God diligently to be what we ought to be as Christians. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, if you're a Christian, the message Dr. Yoder shared is for you. Remember, Dr. Yoder defined carnality this way, living after the appetites of the flesh. Those are our natural desires to please ourselves. And those desires are still with us, even after we come to know Jesus. Now, I'd like to send you a booklet that will help you as a Christian to overcome the calamity of carnality. The booklet's called Set Free from Death. Set Free from Death. It's a series of messages by Dr. Yoder taken from Romans chapter 6, and you can have a copy of that booklet just by asking for it. The title again is Set Free from Death. Here's our mailing address, Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org. And you can send us your request by email. Again, the booklet is called Set Free from Death. Once again, here's the mailing address, Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is heraldsofhope.org. Now, you'll be sure to join us next week as Dr. Yoder opens the Word and teaches us from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. His message is titled, How to Build a Church. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.